What's up, everybody? It's Anthony Cazenza with the Orange and Black Insider Bengals podcast and CincyJungle.com coming at you with yet another great episode with yet another special guest. We've had a week chock full of special guests, and we have another one here, the Orange Arrow, bringing us some sage fantasy football advice, survival football advice, all the good stuff to get you set for week five as it kicks off later here, just a few hours as we record live here on Thursday afternoon evening. Derek Davis, a.k.a. the Orange Arrow. What's going on, Derek? How you doing this week, bud?
I'm doing all right. How are you? Hey, 3-1, looking to go 4-1. I'm getting more and more excited the closer we get to Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing well from a Bengals perspective. And I feel like this is kind of, unfortunately, the chorus line that I repeat week in, week out about my fantasy team. I am still alive in my survival pool. I did take the Bengals last week. I was about ready to double hate everything in life between losing survival and the Bengals potentially losing that game. But they came through, and in very exciting fashion, an important night in Bengals history and everything. Before we get to all kinds of different stuff in terms of, you know, guys we should play, some guys we should think about. There's a lot of different injury situations coming about. And also next week's going to be interesting because I believe that's when teams start to have their bye weeks, right, in week six. So there's a lot to navigate there. Before we do any of that, Derek, you were on hand at the Thursday night game with a bunch of Bengals brethren there. Tell us, give us a couple minutes about your experience there, who you saw, and the Ring of Honor ceremony that was at halftime. I've kind of been joking that it must have been the first time ever at Paul Brown Stadiums that the bathrooms were empty at halftime with the Ring of Honor ceremony going on. So yep. A little bit about your experience, my man.
Yeah, so this was actually my first primetime game that I got to go to. So it was totally electric from start to finish. And unfortunately, my wife had to work, so I wasn't able to tailgate. I wasn't able to meet everybody that I wanted to go. You know, I wanted to see Zim Hude, which I actually bumped into as we were walking around and stuff, and he was just wild and going crazy as he normally does. And it was a lot of fun getting to see all the guys, and we got to do one big, I guess you could say, super fan photo. We didn't get to get everybody in there, but it was a lot of fun from, like I said, from start to finish. It was just from the lights to everything. Being my first primetime game, I had the couple behind me said that they've never seen it be that electric before, and they've been going for years. So it was completely awesome.
Well, that's awesome. The more and more I hear about it, the more and more I get jealous, but that's okay. I had fun, my fun week one. I wanted to get back out there week four, couldn't do it, but it sounds like it was an amazing time. I was joking last night on the show with John that I was like, oh man, all these people coming from out of town and all these people making sure they come to this game. And all of a sudden it was 14-0. And I'm going, oh, not only like bummer as a Bengals fan, but I'm like, oh my gosh, bummer for everybody there. They and the Ring of Honor folks and everything. I'm like, oh no. But they came back and won in dramatic fashion. I'm sure the stadium was rocking when they came back and won.
Oh, absolutely. And let me just tell you, as a guy in his 30s, it was definitely tough on the old blood pressure, that's for sure.
Tough on the next day?
No, just watching it from start to finish, just you know, the heart and everything. It was rough. It was rough.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. You're rocking the cool beanie. I am jealous of that one. Season ticket holders getting that bad boy there with the orange and black and the tiger head. The tiger head's always my favorite logo, man. That's the one I
Oh, absolutely. I love it.
A little bit more. I wish they would use it a little bit more. But that's okay. Well, I'm glad you had a great time, my friend. And we had not a – I guess we had an imperfect kind of – slate of things last week, but I think there were some good hits that you had mentioned and we had touched on last week's fantasy show.
Yeah, we actually we had spoken on a couple starts and sits. One of my starts of the week was Derek Carr, which didn't do so hot, but we rounded it out with Dawson Knox being our tight end star of the week, and he I think he finished as like the tight end two, tight end three of the week, somewhere in around there. Couldn't best our guy CJ Uzama, but hey, he had a pretty good week as well though.
Yeah.
And then for our assist of the week, we had mentioned I think we had mentioned A Rob, which, you know, Allen Robinson. That whole situation, I don't know. I know Justin Fields was declared the starter going forward, so hopefully that helps out a little bit. But, you know, unfortunately, until I can see something from A-Rob, I would prefer to bench him here going forward. And then Robert Tonyan, another guy as a potential sit. Tight ends are boom and bust because it's pretty much if you can get a couple receptions and a touchdown, you're going to finish within the top 12 of the week. So I didn't really like the potential for Tonyan to score a touchdown last week. So that's kind of where I landed on that one.
Well, some good ones there. And then the picks of the week, I mentioned that I was going back and forth between the Bengals and the Bills. The Bills, of course, hosting the Texans, who are an absolute mess. The Bengals probably got the best we're going to see from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Maybe they'll sneak in a couple of wins this year, but now with the Urban Meyer situation that came after that game, who knows what kind of tailspin that team's going to be in. But both of those, the two teams we largely targeted were ones that we felt pretty confident in. There was another one we kind of talked about. I think it was the Tennessee Titans, but I personally didn't like that one. I thankfully didn't go to that one. I just felt like the Jets were kind of due. Tennessee's been a bit of a mixed bag. So, you know, that's a little bit of the survivor rundown. I think the two picks that we mostly honed in on were the ones that I hope folks ended up taking advice on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had mentioned possibly the Lions, which I hope absolutely no one listened to me on that one. I just thought Dan Campbell's got those guys working, and for some reason, it's just like every week they just can't get over that hump. Kind of like the Jaguars. I mean, the talent, it seems like it's there, but and the Jaguars especially, they've got Trevor Lawrence, they've got guys like Laviska Shenault, Marvin Jones, James Robinson, all those guys. It looks like they've got the talent, but for some reason, it's just maybe it does come down to coaching. I don't know, but they just cannot get over that hump.
Well, I hope the Lions get a win out of the way before they face the Bengals, because that we've seen what a trap game could potentially do. And just Detroit, get it out of the way if you got to. Get it out of the way before you face the Bengals, please, and thank you.
Absolutely, and that could be another kind of issue where we run into. I think we play Baltimore the following week, mm-hmm. so that could be another one where they potentially look over the Lions. So hopefully, like you said, Detroit, come on, we're rooting for you.
Before we get to more survival picks for this week, sits, starts, all that kind of stuff, this is the YouTube channel for your show, the Orange Arrow Fantasy Show, and we are leaning upon you and your advice, your sage wisdom in the fantasy realm to give us all kinds of good tips, and I hope our listeners are taking advantage of that. You can, if you are tuning in live, please submit some questions to us. If you've got a fantasy lineup question or anything like that, we'd love to hear from you. But I'm going to put the link to your YouTube channel in our live chats. I believe it's in our description as well, so folks can check that out. But tell us a little bit about your channel before we move on to some players, games to pick, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so every Wednesday, every Friday, Wednesdays we go over some starts and sits with some possible players. It's normally Wednesdays are after the waivers have run in fantasy leagues. So what I like to do is kind of look at roster percentages of certain players that I think are potential pickups. See kind of where they're sitting as far as fantasy leagues and stuff like that, and see if there's potential guys that's sneaky that's out there that you could possibly pick up and start that week. So that's Wednesdays, and then Fridays we do the Orange Arrow Locks of the Week, where I talk a little bit about betting. And I've got a potential sneaky one this week I think everybody will like.
All right. Well, go subscribe over to the Orange Arrows Fantasy Show. Subscribe to our channel, too. If you're stumbling across ours for the first time, subscribe to ours. Click the bell to be notified when we go live, when new content is available. Same thing with the Orange Arrow Fantasy Show on YouTube. Go do the same. Yours is also are also on your show is also on some of the audio platforms. Ours is our Cincy Jungle podcast channels as well, is it not, Derek?
Yes, absolutely. You can find me almost everywhere where you can find your guys' podcast, you know, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, just basically the ones that the little peons like me can get a hold of. That's where you can find me over there.
Little peons. Well, we're on the same platforms, my man. So we're all little peons then. But no, we appreciate your time and your advice here. I could have come on here and pretended to be this fantasy football guru, but if you look at my teams, my friend, I think I'm 0-4 in our sleeper app league. I've got maybe two collective wins in two other Yahoo League. So for me to sit here and say you should play this guy, you should go pick up this guy, would be disingenuous of me to do that. So I'm not going to pretend to be someone that I am not, and I'm leaning on someone far more wiser than I am to get this type of advice. So I want to talk about this because there seems to be, and I'll show you my leagues in just a second. But one guy who has risen quite a bit in recent weeks, believe it or not, is AJ Green. And I want to get your take on AJ Green because it just seems to be a different situation here with him in Arizona. Started off kind of doing nothing. Then he had, I think, a game with a touchdown catch. It was like, oh, okay. Then he had a 100-yard game. So I don't know, man. What are you making here of of AJ Green, and should I just picked him up in a league because I had DJ Chark and he went on IR. So, you know, I kind of went that route, but do you think he's a viable play, AJ Green, in that offense right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what he's doing right now in Arizona is kind of like he's found that 2018 or was it 2017 where he had, I can't remember the last time he had his 1,000-yard season, but he's really starting to find his groove, and he's getting every week. I think he's had 6 targets a week exactly. So he's still a big part of the target share, and you've got DeAndre Hopkins on one side, AJ Green being on the other side. So they're shadowing more towards DeAndre's side of the ball. So I think that helps AJ as well, being that he doesn't have to be that number one target anymore. So, yeah, AJ Green right now, I've got him kind of in that wide receiver 3 flex kind of range. So if you've got him, and depending on the other players you got, I mean, he could definitely go right in there in your lineup in that flex kind of wide receiver 3 range, like I said.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not a every week starter, it would seem. Maybe a spot guy here and there, but a guy that, I think he's starting to grow into that system. Yeah, there's a lot of – it's kind of a double-edged sword. There are a lot of weapons. He's not the number one guy there, but he's in an offense where he's getting looks. He's in an offense where he is getting targets, like you mentioned, and some of which are on deep plays. So I think you're starting to see as the year wears on that he's still got something left in the tank, and he is producing in that offense and that team that's the only undefeated team right now in the NFL. The Cardinals look pretty dang good, beating up on the Rams, I think it was this last week. So, here I'm going to show you a couple of, again, just a couple of horror stories of my leagues here. So I'm having an issue, and I think a lot of people are, between injuries and questionable statuses and all that kind of stuff. Here is one league where I've got CeeDee Lamb, who's been kind of hot and cold, right? I had to play Devontae Parker, who ended up having a pretty good week last week. He has the questionable status. You've got Marvin Jones, who now probably is the number one guy in that offense with DJ Chark there. You've got Chase Claypool, who can put up numbers. He's got the questionable status. Hanging on to Jerry Jeudy. And then real quick, in another league I've got, there are some other guys that are questionable, and are they going to play? Aren't they going to play? here we go. There's Odell, who's been up and down. Jacoby Myers, who's in an offense that isn't overly explosive. McCaffrey, who's a running back, of course, but has the questionable status. You've got Mixon. You've got, I mentioned, Claypool, A.J. Brown. T. Higgins is another guy questionable. I mean, how do you sort through? I mean, I threw a ton of names at you, but how do you kind of sort through some of these guys coming up in week five?
Yeah, so I'll start things off right off the bat with McCaffrey. If he's starting, he's in your lineup regardless. I mean, I think he said today they asked him if he has a chance to start. He said definitely. You know, he said he's starting to feel a whole lot better about the potential to start this week. So if he's out there, he's definitely going to be. Now, will they kind of pull back the reins and not give him 100% of the snap like normal? I don't remember exactly his percentage of snaps the first few weeks he was out there, but it seems like he's almost out there every single down. So maybe they pull that back. He'll go kind of a 60-40 split with Hubbard. Or is it Hubbard? I think his last name, Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they'll go 60-40. Maybe they'll go 70-30. But when he's out there, it's almost a guarantee that the ball's kind of funneling right now between him and DJ Moore and really no one else. So if he's out there, you definitely start him. Mixon. I'm sure a lot of Cincinnati fans are kind of, you know, holding on to their coattails, reading every word that Ben Baby and all those guys are putting out as far as the injury report goes. But if he starts, that one kind of worries me a little bit just because of the, you know, Christian McCaffrey doesn't have a guy like Chris Evans behind him and a guy like Samaje Perine that are good 1-2 back. So if Mixon is out there, I could potentially see it being and like they said, if Mixon's out, it's going to be a committee approach between Samaje and Chris Evans. So if it's all three of them, I could see them doing maybe Mixon gets 50% of the snaps, and then what if he can get you a touchdown, he'll be all right, which I think that he can, but they might just, you know, give him a little rest on this one, especially with us being 3-1. So that's my thoughts on him. And then the rest of the guys, it's kind of hit or miss. I know, I think Claypool, I can't remember what the injury report said this week on him. And I can look that up really quick for you and see what they're saying about Claypool.
Currently listed as questionable. And, see here, it's trying to
says he was limited at practice on Thursday, so
yeah
if he's out there, you know, week three against us he had 15 targets, week two against Las Vegas he had 9 targets. So if he's out there, I would say he would be a pretty easy start against Denver. But then again, Denver's defense is one of those defenses that you kind of want to shy away from. So honestly, as far as the Pittsburgh team goes, it's almost like it's Deontay and it's Najee and it's really no one else. Claypool maybe, but, you know, in the 15 targets against us, he did have 9 receptions for 96 yards. But, I mean, I just – it's really hard to trust Ben Roethlisberger's arm too. So,
yeah,
that's kind of my thoughts on that.
Claypool had a lot of touchdowns last year, but, you know, none so far this year. That offense just is not putting up the same kind of points and production that they are used to. I mentioned his name a little bit, and this is both from a Bengals-centric perspective, but also just kind of what do you do in fantasy football, because these guys are owned across the league, and you've got potentially T. Higgins coming back. So how do you balance the T. Higgins, Jamar, because – look, in Chicago, the last game Higgins played, you know, he had a decent game. Chase had the big, you know, the big touchdown catch, two touchdown catches in that one. And then, you know, you had Chase getting a big play the following week. You've had Tyler Boyd emerge. He had a 100-yard game against the Jaguars this last week. So what should be the plan of attack here if you're a fantasy owner and own one of these three guys, whether it's Higgins and being cautious with him coming back from injury. It looks like he's going to play. Sounds like he's going to play. But, yeah. You know, between those three, how do you balance all of that and what should the expectations be?
Yeah, so right now in my rankings I have in PPR, I have Chase at wide receiver 17, Tyler Boyd at wide receiver 22, and T. Higgins at wide receiver 35. So they're all potential starters. And the reason why I have Higgins so low really is because of the fact that we don't, you know, he was still limited on Thursday. So if he's able to get into full practice on Friday and then, you know, they say that he's a full go come Sunday, then I would probably look to swap him and Boyd. And you can see Boyd going back to that 33, 34 range and then T kind of being in that wide receiver 20 to 22. So that's kind of where I'm standing on those. All three guys are starters this week. Because Green Bay's, I think they're ranked like 27th against wide receivers this year. So, you know, and they've lost Jaire Alexander. They've lost, I think, Kevin King is out. So, which Kevin King, we all know, is normally the guy you want to target. So, against a bunch of DBs that nobody really knows, I would say they have the potential for all these guys to eat.
So before we get to let's get to some other players maybe I didn't mention. I don't know if any of these are on kind of your let's, you know, you should start them, you shouldn't start them type of thing. Who are a couple of players before we get to survival and some of the bets for the actual games themselves? Who are some of the player, a couple of other players that you're saying, you know, hey, either owner beware or owner, you may want to step up and play this guy this week.
Yeah, so one guy I have this week is wide receiver Corey Davis for the New York Jets. And one thing I did want to mention on him, you know, that is a 9:30 game. So just what I like to do on these London games is just kind of I'll set my alarm early, which 9:30, hopefully I'll be down at the tailgate by that time. But 9:30 in the morning, which I know for you is probably like 5:30. Yeah. So maybe, you know, at 5 o'clock or something, just set your alarm. Take a look through your phone real quick. Make sure there are no, you know, surprising inactives, which I know Russell Gage and I think Calvin Ridley both didn't fly to the game. So Cordell Patterson, Kyle Pitts, and Mike Davis, you know, those guys, fire them all up because they should all have pretty good games. And then, you know, like I said, Corey Davis, I think he could potentially have a big game this week.
All right. So looking at the London game for some plays here for this week for fantasy owners from the Orange Arrow. He's Derek Davis, also known as the Orange Arrow Bengals super fan, but also a valuable person to have on your fantasy football side and get you set for your fantasy football lineups. And Derek, before we get to survival picks and a couple of other things before we bounce on out of here, there is a new promotion for Orange and Black Insider listeners, Cincy Jungle readers. Of course, by using the promo code OBI, you got to be able to use that, short for Orange and Black Insider. But cool thing now, if you deposit $100 and you use the promo code OBI, you have a 90-day risk-free element to your deposit. So if you deposit $100 and you end up losing some money in your investment, you can then recoup your money within 90 days. If you don't like where the investments are heading, or if you for some reason don't like the product, by the way, you will, but you can recoup your deposit back in full, your original deposit amount, if you deposit at least $100 and use the promo code OBI. But what is Symbol? S-I-M-B-U-L-L. Symbol is the stock market for sports. You can buy stocks in teams, whether it's the Cincinnati Bengals or a team in many other sports that they offer. And they are adding more and more, by the way. You can buy shares of stock in teams and either hold on to them short term and sell them off if they make a quick buck, or you can hang on to them long term if you see a good outlook for said team. And make some money long term. Make money long term with growth. So go to simbull.app/OBI. Use that promo code OBI. So, and if you, again, deposit at least $100 and you use that promo code, if you have a 90-day risk-free element to your deposit. So take advantage of that. We've been partnering with Symbol for quite a long time now. We just had Symbol CEO Kenneth Giles on our show last night to tell you about this promo and, of course, other things going on with Symbol. And he's a Packers guy, so it made a lot of sense to have him come on and preview that too. So our thanks to Symbol. Go to the website in the live chats there and take advantage of the promo that's going on there. Now, Derek, let's talk a bit about survival football, survivor, survival, whatever you want to call it. Here, I'm still alive here, to use a Pearl Jam phrase. I have Baltimore this week is what I picked just actually earlier today. I was kind of having some trouble. I didn't, if you look down the lineups here, I didn't like LA at Seattle. I don't like New York and Atlanta, 2-1-3 teams. I have already taken both Green Bay and Cincinnati, so even if I had someone, a team there that I liked, I can't pick them right now. Detroit and Minnesota was one, especially at Minnesota, I thought about. But again, we're talking about Detroit being due, so I didn't know how I feel about that. Maybe could have picked the Broncos at Pittsburgh, though. I'm still waiting for Pittsburgh to kind of do the Undertaker thing and rise up from the coffin a little bit. Miami at Tampa Bay, that one seemed like something that I may have wanted to look into, but I'm also kind of thinking, do I want to save Tampa Bay for later? I don't know, man. There's just a couple on here where I was like, yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, but I don't know. Dallas, New York at Dallas. I don't know. What's sticking out to you this week in terms of survival picks?
Yeah, so I kind of done the same thing you were saying. You know, when you're going through here, you're looking at these, you normally like to target these less teams like a, you know, like you said, a Lions, or, you know, maybe possibly picking Denver against Pittsburgh. But the one that really resonated to me was, you know, like you said, Tampa Bay, Miami. I like that one a lot, but I also kind of wanted to wait on Tampa Bay just for the simple fact, like you said, in case you have another harder week, that you can just say, hey, okay, I'll take Tampa Bay here, and we'll live to breathe another day. So the one that really resonated to me was the New England at Houston game. Just because Bill Belichick, you know, he had the loss last week against Tampa Tom and those guys. So I look for him. I don't particularly think Bill will have 2 weeks in a row where he'll, you know, suffer a hard loss, especially against a Houston team that seems to be reeling. So that was the one that I went to. And then, like you said, Minnesota against Detroit is another nice one. But, you know, Detroit has – you'd think they have to win a game soon, right? And then, you know, the Jaguars game, that could potentially be another one as well. But I don't really know what to do on that. Tennessee's defense scares me. I think they're actually ranked 31st against the pass right now. So that could potentially be another one where you say, hey, should I start Trevor Lawrence in fantasy this week? And I definitely think that is a viable option this week. So I didn't want to pick that one. And then another one that I liked really well was, like you said, the Dallas-New York Giants game. But with those division rival or division matchups, you never know which way, one way or the other, which way it could go. So yeah. I couldn't do that one either.
So am I in the right ballpark with taking Baltimore this week?
That one – so it kind of scared me a little bit because they're both 3-1. You know, Carson Wentz seems like he's starting to get a little bit healthier. You've got Jonathan Taylor over there. Naeem Hines, I think he just showed up on the injury report today. So, and I love Michael Pittman in fantasy. And he's, you know, each week he's got, other than week one, week two, 12 targets, week three, 12 targets, and then week four, he got 8 targets. So that's a guy that, and he has yet to score a touchdown. So if you want to talk about a potential touchdown guy, if you wanted to do a prop bet or something like that for Michael Pittman to score a touchdown, I could see that happen. But yeah, that one, it's kind of iffy to me, but I mean, you know, when do you bet against Baltimore? So,
and I believe it's at Baltimore. If I read that correctly. Yeah. So, yeah, that was a hard one to pass up. I don't know. I may make a last minute switch here before the Thursday night football deadline, but that's kind of where my head was at there. Speaking of wins, losses, and everything, we're bringing up thelines.com. Not sponsored by them, but we like this website because it provides a lot of different outlets in terms of the lines on games, whether it's showing DraftKings line, Caesars Sportsbook, FanDuel, BetMGM, PointsBet, all kinds of different things. Were there a couple of games, Derek, that you're targeting because of either the line or venue, teams playing, any of that, where you say, you know, this could be a safe bet here?
Yeah, so that's normally the first thing I like to do is I'll go look at the lines. And like I said, the first two that immediately caught my eye was Tampa. I think they were minus 10 to beat against Miami. And then of course, New England, I think they were minus 8.5 maybe?
Yeah, 8.5 or 9, depending on the outlet, it looks like.
Yeah, so those were the first two that I immediately looked at. And normally what I like to do is I'll look at the lines, and if they are a big line like that, you know, you want to kind of break down why that is. And I really can't see how those teams don't win by more than 10 points, both teams, really.
Okay. Always a little daunting when you see those big point spreads in the NFL. You know, it's when you kind of have those college spreads in the NFL there. So, and then just kind of rounding it out, the Giants at the Cowboys. Cowboys a 6.5-point favorite in an old school rivalry game. That's kind of interesting.
What's the over under on that one?
The over under, I don't know if I have that in front of me. Looks like 110. 110, 114. Am I reading that right?
No. I can look that up real quick if you wanted to keep talking.
Yeah, no, it's not the right number. Yeah. I don't have that one in front of me. I just have the lines up. But the Niners and Cardinals, 4.5 and 5, another divisional game. The Bills and the Chiefs going 3 points or 2.5, depending on the outlet there. And then the Ravens are favored by a touchdown at home against the Colts there. So some really interesting ones here this week. And of course the London game, 3 points, 2.5 points, depending on who you bet with. And then the Packers getting, being 3-point favorites against the Bengals. Basically, if this game was played at Lambeau, this probably would have been about a 6-point spread with the Packers being the favorites there. So, I like where you're looking at. I think a couple of the teams that you mentioned are just kind of a mess. You see the Vikings are actually 10-point favorites at home as well in another divisional game. It's always weird to see those big spreads in divisional games because those games can go any which direction as we've seen. So interesting lines this week.
And the over-under for the Giants-Cowboy game is 52. So, you know, with it being a potentially high-scoring game, I would kind of steer clear of that one because, and you know what, Dallas Cowboys and the Giants defense, both of them are actually pretty decent. So that might be one where you look at the betting side of things and look to hit the under on that one. You know, over under 52, I know it's hard to do that against the Dallas team, but, you know, both of those defenses are playing really well right now.
I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I'm going 110, 150. What are these teams scoring 60 points apiece? I don't know what the hell I was thinking there. So, yeah, totally brain burp there. But, yeah, anyway, good stuff, Derek. I'm going to let you talk about your YouTube channel one more time, and we will get on out of here, sir, unless you've got any final pieces of advice that you think is worth sharing that we did not get to.
Yeah, actually, real quick, I just wanted to say Noah had a question, A-Rob, Zach Moss, Damian Williams, or Alex Collins. That one I would lean towards Damian Williams. I like his matchup this week. Alex Collins, he will be the starting running back, but um, I just I kind of like what they're doing as far as the running game goes in Chicago.
And then there was one other one here that I think we passed on here. Should I start Guerrero Ruiz? Should I start Burrow over Cousins?
Yeah, and that one is really close to me. I've actually got Burrow and Cousins ranked very similar. Let me just look at my rankings right now. So I have Kirk Cousins. I've got him ranked 9th, and I've got Burrow ranked 12th. So if you wanted to go Kirk Cousins against Detroit, that seems like a pretty good spot, but they also could look to run the ball a little bit more. So I would, even though I have Burrow ranked lower, I would probably start Burrow.
Okay. Good questions there from our live listeners there. I put the URL for your YouTube channel, the Orange Arrow Fantasy Show, in the live chats there. Tell us one more time about your show there, Derek.
Yeah. So, like I said before, you can find me over there, Orange Arrow Fantasy Show. I do a lot of fantasy stuff, starts and sits and players to pick up, that kind of thing on the Wednesday show. And then on Friday's show, I do a little more betting side of things where I do my best bets and that kind of stuff over there. So it's a lot of fun. I'm looking to potentially do a little bit more than what I've been having, but with two kids, it's a little hard to do, you know, more than one or two shows a week. So I don't know how you do it, man.
Well, I don't know. I hear you though. Most definitely. I hear you, but thanks for your time and joining us today and giving us some fantasy football advice. Hope everybody has a great week of fantasy football, survival football, all that kind of stuff. And hopefully you not only subscribe to the Orange Arrow Fantasy Show YouTube channel, but hopefully you've enjoyed this week's content. We had the post-game show late last week. And then, of course, it bled into the water cooler chat with Drew Garrison on Tuesday. Last night, Wednesday night, we had Mike Petraglia, who covers the Cincinnati Bengals, join us on the program, as well as Symbol CEO Kenneth Giles, talking about all things Bengals and Bengals Packers, etc. Another special guest today, the Orange Arrow, giving out some fantasy football advice. Tomorrow, Friday, we have listener questions live. John Sheeran, myself, and special guest Malik Wright of the Right Way Sports Network joining us. So jam-packed week, as well as post-game show on Friday. I know.
But you guys, Derek, are killing it right now.
Well, we're doing what we can. Derek, thanks for everything, man. I appreciate your support of our show and giving out some advice to our listeners. Have a good week. Have a good time at the game, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you guys are out there, look for me. We'll be in lot one, starting up things off, and then, you know, I think Giff Vader is doing a performance of his New Stripes song over on, I can't remember exactly where they said that was now. It was a Longwood Hall. I think he's doing that over there. And then, of course, you know, Bengal Jim's got everything he's doing. So have fun. Hopefully I see everybody out there, and hootay.
All right. Take it easy, everybody. Have a good week, and listen to this advice that we gave you today for your fantasy football lineups. Take it easy.